You're listening to WRT Madison.
Straight from the base, deep down, no precision. High crime treason, we broadcast in sedition. Like the Wall Street Morning Afternoon Edition. Commandeering airwaves from unknown positions. Live and direct, we come and never pre-recorded. With information that would never be...
Wow! I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. So good, so good. I got a year. Wow, I feel nice. The sugar runs by. I feel nice. The sugar runs by.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to the Mel and Floyd Summer Replacement Show. I'm Mel. Floyd is on assignment, but back with us after a week's hiatus, Mr. Smarty Pants.
Guten Tag.
How was Austria?
It was great.
Did you pick up any tips there? Historically speaking?
I spent my time at the Mozart Museum, and meanwhile, companion was busy looking around for big piles of European science money. So.
Did he have like a cardboard sign listed by the Autobahn?
Yes. And
exactly. Will science for money?
Yes. Exactly. Exactly.
You know, he might have to become an astrologer.
Good point. Good point. I have to tell you that there's not a lot of real, like, hard research involved in that. I think he would be.
Yeah, but you could
get bored pretty fast.
Yeah, but you could probably scam a lot of people.
Well, that was
though.
What Kepler did. You know, Kepler was the famous, early astronomer who was an astrologer. That's how he made the money to do it. So he had a little, he knew where the planets were.
It was a side hustle.
It was a side hustle. It definitely was. He knew where the planets were, so that's all he needed.
And rich people would come in and then he'd tell them what they want to hear.
Typical Capricorn. No, but the last time we were there, we were in Vienna, and the last time we were there, I was doing all of the art stuff, you know, the Klimts here, yeah, you know. Don't wave their Klimt around in my face and stuff like that. But this time I was doing on the music tour. So I went to Beethoven's house and went to Mozart's house. And then we went to like this big museum of all the famous Viennese composers. And that was really fun.
Oh, what fun.
And I went back to the Freud Museum because, as you know, strict Freudians will say one visit's not going to be enough,
no,
right?
No, you got to rest for a while and then go back.
I went back and really started really getting super interested in Anna Freud, his daughter. She was kind of a character and really interesting in her own right.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually bought one of her books. I thought, you know, I mean, she's dead now, but I mean, she's probably not
going to get the royalties.
Not getting the royalties, but, you know, but maybe the museum is. But no, I was really interested in her stuff. This seems so intuitive, but they actually had to prove it. So she, when they immigrated to England, you know, to escape the Nazis, she started working with English psychoanalysts and so on. And she worked with this one woman collaborator, who were working with families that were trying to get their kids out of the major cities, like, you know, Coventry and London and so on. They were being bombed by the Germans. And they were trying to help the kids get like acclimated to this new horrible environment they were in. And they found out something super interesting. Kids can pretty much put up with anything as long as they're with nice parents.
Oh, really?
So the kids were like freaked out.
I wouldn't know.
Yeah, I know, me neither. What does that tell you? But no, they found out that the kids were more disturbed. Bombs are falling. They'd rather stay in the city if their parents are going to be there. So she and this collaborator that she had figured out a protocol for how to move the kids into the country to stay with these country families where their kids wouldn't feel abandoned or freaked mm-hmm. out. You know, it's kind of like, let's go visit, you know, Auntie Harriet or whatever.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
then, you know, and they'd have a few visits with the mom or the dad. And then, you know, they'd leave them there for a little while and say, well, we'll be back later, kids, you know, and so on. But anyway, I just thought that was fascinating. She really did support daddy's theories. But the nice thing about Anna was she also was open to, like, empirical evidence. You know? I don't was stepping on any toes out there, but Freud had his own ideas about everything, basically. So, but yeah, no, it was great. We had a good time, and we saw wonderful. Oh, this I got to tell people about this. There's a church in Vienna called the Votivkirche, which is the Emperor Franz Josef had it built to thank God for the fact that an assassin who tried to kill him didn't succeed. So that's the way things were in Austria in those days. But at any rate, in the church they were having this. We were walking by one evening, just taking an evening stroll, and looked over, and there's these purple and green lights that are coming out of this big neo-Gothic church, and we thought, do you have to bring your own goat for that? Or like, what's going on in there? You know, like, what kind of thing are they doing? And
you gotta get some glow sticks.
Something's happening. So we found out they do light shows in there, and it was called the Days of Creation, and it was a light show, partially light show, partially what do you call it, hologram kind of thing. And it was really beautiful. It would, like, you're looking at this again, neo-Gothic church, and it's got like little cells dividing on the ceiling, and tigers coming, your faces are coming out from behind the pillars, and it was really quite beautiful and intense. And I thought, you know, they could learn, the religious folks in here in the U.S. could learn from this if you really want to pack them in.
Yeah.
More light shows.
Well, that's what the mega churches do.
Do they have light shows?
They have everything. It's like a rock concert type thing, and that just, it's
wow.
That's
all
the
right.
Whole environment.
So entertainment.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So somebody's already thought of that. All right.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they're way ahead of you.
Yeah. Well, I guess I've never really, put my shoulder to the wheel on trying to get more people into church before. I haven't really tried that hard.
Flashing lights are very important.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I didn't bring the story yet. I just saw a headline about some preacher who locked his congregation in, and he said they weren't going to unlock the doors until they raised $40,000.
Oral Roberts, yeah. Did it work?
I don't know. I didn't. I think it did. I think because they wanted to get out. So.
There's a Simpsons episode where the door is frozen shut and they can't get out and they all panic. Nothing more horrifying than being trapped in church.
It's time to go. You know what I loved? I was raised Catholic.
Yep.
And toward the end of the, almost at the end of the mass, there would be the communion.
Sure.
And and then right afterwards there was just like a little 5-minute, kind of the wrap-up, kind of the epilogue, like a Quinn Martin production kind of thing, where the priest would come
brought
up.
Brought to you by Jesus.
The priest would come up, you know, read a few sponsors, and you know, give you a blessing and stuff. But you know, so after the communion, it was pretty much over, you know, except for like rolling the credits, essentially.
Right, exactly.
And I loved the people who would go up and get the communion, and then they'd walk back and just keep walking. Just, I'm out of here.
Off like a prom dress, yes.
I fulfilled my minimum obligation to get to heaven.
Yep. Gotta work it, baby. Gotta work it. It's always an angle.
And then that at the end, the priest would have some little benediction. We'd say something like, the mass has ended, go in peace or something.
Sure.
And people would say, thank God. I mean, that was like the response. Praise the Lord or something like that. Didn't think this thing was ever going to end. It was worse. I don't know. You weren't raised Catholic. So.
No.
You know what, like a high mass and a low mass?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah,
yep.
So it was horrible. You'd walk in there, and you could tell by the candles.
Yeah.
And you'd walk in, and you'd see all these candles and go, yep. Damn it, it's a high mass.
lots of incense, too, I would imagine, at a high mass.
Probably,
right?
Yeah. I just know it took twice as long. Well, not twice as long. I was a kid, so it's probably
everything's twice
10
as long.
Minutes longer, you know. But
yeah, I used to go to revival meetings with my family, and it was so funny because I'm serious. Yes, that's living in Eastern Kentucky. It's so funny because my mother used to make herself up. You know, she would like, you know, bleach her hair, and she had Southern hair. She had
glad you said hair.
Yeah, she had proud Southern hair, and she always wore, you know, makeup. She put herself together pretty well. She did have a beehive. In fact, she used so much Aquanet that you could fire at that beehive at close range and it would deflect it. The Aquanet, it really held.
I know it was sad when she passed, but that's when the ozone layer started recovering. So it was...
Her hair still lives, by the way. I just want you to let you know. What would happen is, inevitably, because a lot of ladies were not quite as done up as my mother in that area, and what would happen is, the minister, the preacher, ministers, like giving him too much credit, the preacher would see my mother in the congregation and would move in on her. Usually with something about Jezebels.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was kind of sad. Oh. And a couple of times my mother...
So he was like picking on her?
Oh, yeah, no. He would sort of wander around and say, and there's Jezebels, you know, and they do this thing where they...
Made up
here in the congregation, you know, that thing they do.
Wow.
Where they do the breath thing.
Yeah.
And my mother, I remember one time my mother was at it. She said, come on, kids, we're leaving.
Nice.
I suppose everybody else said, well, that's the Jezebel. Obviously, she was feeling the sting of it.
Wow.
So, yeah.
The shoe fits.
We had a different experience.
Oh, that's funny.
I always, when I was a kid, I admired the Catholics because they seemed like they had it all scripted. You'd have to worry about somebody going
right.
off on you.
Right.
Because, you know, it was all written down ahead of time. I like that. I like the idea of having a programmed service.
Sure. I mean, the priest would do a sermon.
Yeah.
So that was, you know...
Usually about the communists, right?
I don't.
That was back in the day.
You know, and then say they needed some more altar boys.
Diminishing supply of altar boys, a major problem with our nation. Yeah.
That was the baby boom era.
That was. There was a verdant crop.
Oh, right. Did you see Trump the other day was talking about...
Who?
I don't know. Try not to talk about him too much. He was talking... I don't know what he was talking about. I don't know. There must have been something about IVF or something. And he said, I'm going to be known as the fertilization president.
Yeah.
But he does spread a lot of fertilizer.
Yeah,
around,
he certainly does. Hey, I got to just mention that in the world of politics, right now down in Brazil... the former president of Brazil, Mr. Bolsonaro, is facing charges. He's on a trial facing charges that he oversaw a vast scheme to cling to power after losing the 2022 election, including an attempt to overturn the vote.
Is that illegal?
Apparently it is in some countries. Yeah. So he's basically on trial right now. And the Supreme Court Justice, Alexandre de Moraes, said that... there's no doubt that Mr. Bolsonaro knew, handled, and discussed plans for a coup. So he and seven members of his inner circle, including his running mate and a former spy chief, are all basically on trial down there in Brazil. So apparently in some countries, the idea of trying to overthrow the government through some kind of, I don't know, coup d'etat or something like that, that's actually a bad thing. So they've tried to get the trial sort of derailed, but the five justice Supreme Court of Brazil voted unanimously to move forward with the trial.
Wow.
Meanwhile, in Turkey, 1 week after the president of Turkey decided to arrest his major rival, who was the mayor of Istanbul, there's people in the streets right now. There are nightly demonstrations drawn hundreds of thousands of protesters into the streets of Istanbul and other cities. And now Mr. Erdogan's opponents, as the president, of course, is Recep Erdogan, are calling for boycotting companies that support the president of Turkey and vowing to organize more mass protests, including tomorrow, which may have already started, actually.
Is it tomorrow already?
Tomorrow already? Well, it is in some parts of the world.
Oh, okay.
That's how you know the world's not going to end tomorrow, because it's already tomorrow somewhere else. More than 1,300 people have been arrested, but the protests have been absolutely gigantic again, hundreds of thousands of people.
Good for them.
So. And I just want to say a line that I would like to share with the people that comes from one of our founding fathers, Patrick Henry, who said in a speech to the Virginia House of Burgesses, he said, Caesar has his Brutus and Charles has Cromwell, and let George III profit from their example.
So we have our own election coming up here.
We do.
In Wisconsin.
On April Fool's Day.
On April Fool's Day, appropriately enough. So if you haven't voted yet, you know, get out and vote on Tuesday.
Sure.
I think you can still vote today, like for early voting.
Yeah.
But today's probably, I would guess, the last day. I don't know anything. I never, you know, have facts, but those are my feelings about
it.
So I went to vote yesterday in the little town hall, the town of Oregon.
Okay.
And there was like there were two people in front of me, a couple, and it didn't take long, obviously. And the guy had like hunting gear on, camo, and a hunting cap.
Nice.
And the woman had a sweatshirt on that said, "Wifey for lifey."
All right.
So I'm pretty sure they canceled out my vote and, yeah, and more.
Yeah. It sounds like the couple that I saw in the theater when I went.
Wifey for lifey?
I know. It sounds like the couple I met when I was in the theater seeing a, gosh, what was it? It was that Lion and the Witch in the Wardrobe when that came out. And I think we saw it on a Sunday, so I think it was like Christian approved,
oh,
you know?
No.
And
oh,
so
no.
there was a, we were right in the midst of this giant mass of folks who were, you know, I think they felt like they were in good company. And so they had a, like an ad at the beginning, like you know, you always have like a half an hour of ads from, you know,
sure.
Coke and,
sure.
And so this was like, you know, happy holidays from Markup Theaters, you know? And the guy next to me, because in a really loud voice, said, they can't even say Merry Christmas. And so I turned to him and said, maybe they want some Jews to come to their movies. Like, he was suddenly, his mouth just clamped shut.
He knows nothing about capitalism.
Meanwhile, companion's like, what's going on over there? You know,
like, oh, I'm just picking a fight with somebody before the movie started.
Where, some guy wearing camo. He was wearing camo,
yeah,
too.
Of course. Yeah, of course. Well, that way you can blend in into the seats of the theater.
Exactly. Hey, speaking of religious things, did you hear that our president, the president of these United States, has decided to add a twist to the annual Easter tradition at the at the White House? They're going to have corporate sponsors now for the Easter egg roll, and they want to you know, everything has to be smeared, I mean touched with the magic of the market. And so he's
brought to you by Tesla.
He's thinking that even though of course it raises ethical and legal concerns, he's decided they will allow companies to profit from the 147-year-old tradition by turning it into showcase for various brands.
Oh, God.
So the financial backers, in case you'd want to get in on this, maybe WRT would like to take a hunk of this.
Oh, sure.
Financial backers of the April 21st event would be able to choose from three options that cost between $75,000 and $200,000. This is according to a 9-page guide for potential sponsors that's been out there. The most expensive package includes corporate booth, logo placements, branded snacks or beverages, exclusive tickets, and then a deep brunch with Miss Personality herself, the First Lady.
Oh, really?
You can actually be all in on that. You can really sit down and yeah. I don't know what you guys
are. Are they going to be eating the children? Or?
Which is on premises, yeah. Into the pot. Be a part of history, it says. Yes, a very sad, very small part of history,
yeah.
According to the guide, which is written by a group called Harbinger. This is an event production.
That's a great name.
Is it too funny? Harbinger of the End. It's an event production company. It was founded by Republicans back in 2013. So it invites sponsors to, quote, provide financial support, activities, and giveaways to enhance the event while gaining valuable brand visibility and national recognition.
Corporate talk. Marketing talk.
They don't even, it's like in 1984, they don't even need to think with their forebrain in generating this, by the way. In fact, it's preferable if you don't.
It's probably all AI.
Duck speak is what they call it, yeah. A little bit of duck speak.
I like Easter. I like the story of, you know, Jesus in the tomb, and then the Easter bunny comes and rolls the boulder away and gives him some chocolate, and then he comes out and takes a look and says, I'm getting out of here.
There's a wonderful image I saw, actually, of Mary Magdalene. The story in the Gospel of John is the most beautiful to me. And she comes there and she's looking for Jesus' body and she can't find it. And then there's this man there and she thinks it's the gardener. You know, and she says, could you tell me where Jesus is? And then she realized that's who it is. And there's a, I saw this wonderful image.
Well, I know a lot of guys named Jesus who are gardeners.
Yeah, exactly. That's what she thought too. But I saw this wonderful image, just like an icon or something, where it's just like her with an amazed look on her face.
Oh,
like,
very cool.
You know, just like, oh, that's so cool.
Oh.
From her point of view, yeah.
Sorry about that comment.
No. No, I remember the National Lampoon cover that had, remember the bunny on the cross? That was one of their more famous covers.
Hey, stop me if this sounds familiar. Trump signs executive order to end collective bargaining at agencies involved with, quote, national security. And of course, their definition of national security includes pretty much the entire federal government. So, you know, it's just the, it's the old playbook here. I mean, you go after the media, you go after the labor unions, you go after the universities. I mean, it's right there. It's nothing new.
Well, those are independent sources of power and authority in our society, and what you don't want is that.
But there's, of course, you know, concern that this is probably not legal, and the unions are going to push back.
So I don't know if you heard, but the World Happiness Report was released on Thursday, and it showed that the United States had dipped to its lowest slot in the country rankings. It had been ranked as high, and think about this, it had been ranked as high as 11th in terms of happiness as just as recently as 2012. And it's now 24th in happiness. And Americans are increasingly miserable. And there's probably lots of reasons. But you know, a really big one, which has nothing to do with politics, and may, in fact, this may be the reason why our politics are so screwed up, is that the number of people that eat by themselves has gone up exponentially in this century. This is according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. And this is like still something that gives you actual statistics. We'll see how the Bureau of Labor fantasy will be coming, certainly. But according to Bureau of Labor Statistics data from 2023, they have a thing called the American Time Use Survey. About a quarter of all U.S. citizens report eating all of their meals alone the previous day. Wow. The extent to which you share meals is predictive of the social support you have, the pro-social behaviors you exhibit, and the trust you have in others, according to some professor somewhere.
Some pointy-headed. Ivy Towered liberal.
The problem is this trend is even more pronounced among young people.
Sure.
People under 25, 80% of them dine by themselves.
Yeah.
They eat alone. And so this is, so it's which comes first, right? But I mean, I think the fact that we are suffering from anomy, you know, we're atomized in terms of our relations with others, it means that we live in a society in which it's basically easy to come up with all sorts of crazy ideas about things and to not really think that you can multiply your power by working with others. Of course, the countries that have always been the happiest, the ones that get along the best, for the eighth year in a row, Finland took the top. And, of course, not everybody in Finland is happy. But I can tell you that people in Finland live a very different sort of life than we do. Costa Rica, for goodness sakes, is number six. And I just want to point out that Costa Rica is one of the only countries in the world that doesn't have an army. So there you go.
Seventify 75% of U.S. scientists who answered a Nature poll are considering leaving the country. Have you heard about this trend?
Was ist los?
Many said they're looking for jobs in Europe and Canada.
And we'll be in Paris this summer, too. So. Lord.
Well, check out Canada. That's closer.
Well, I mean, we probably could move to Canada. I mean, they have a fledgling space industry there. So, I mean, maybe not much longer. I don't know. I have to say this. I like living in the United States.
I wish people
wouldn't screw around in my country. I'm just kind of like, it's, you know, that's my home.
I know. No, I get it.
I mean, I like European culture fine, and I wish things were more like some of the things they have there. But, you know, we're just kind of like, I don't know, informal, laughing, smart alecks in the United States. I mean, there's just something about, you notice that when you go to other nations, how formal people can be in other cultures and so on. And I'm not putting anybody down, but we're just like, people start talking to you in line here, you know, and telling you where they're about their recent heart operation and things like that. You know,
want
like,
to see my scar?
You want to see my scar? Exactly. There's something about that I really cherish.
The last time I went down south to the deep south, I was impressed with how nice the people were. I got along with them great. I had a wonderful time hanging out with them. I mean, I knew we didn't agree on very much of anything that was, you know, kind of important. But you know, we could put that aside and just have a good time. I remember stopped for gas one time and I walked into the convenience store and there was this big burly guy, just kind of a cliche hillbilly, and he was just, you know, big belly, big beard, and had bib overalls on and no shirt.
Yeah.
And he looked kind of rough. And he was standing by the door, and I was like, oh, you know, a little uncomfortable, you know, having to squeeze by him. He reaches out and holds the door open for me. I mean, I was like, I felt like an idiot then. But
I see a guy like that. I always assume he's wearing lacy panties.
That's just funny. I didn't check.
that's the image I put in my head. You know? It's probably this guy's just as scared of me as I am of him. Just for different reasons.
I saw one time, this was probably maybe 15 years ago on State Street. Might have been like tournament time or something when people who normally wouldn't come to Madison are walking down State Street looking for a place to eat. And there was this group, and there was one kind of great big macho guy was sort of like the leader, and they were trying to pick a place to eat, and they poked their head in this restaurant. It was the same one I was going to, so I was like right behind them, and they got in there, and then there was like a big rainbow flag, and it was like the cartoons where they just did the screeched, flipped it a 180, and pretty much sprinted out of there. and I heard him say, comment on the flag. That's why they were doing that. It wasn't anything else that chased him off. It was like, and it was, again, it was, you know, we're so isolated here that surprised me. It's like, really? You know, I couldn't imagine. I don't know. Yeah. Why won't you go to a place where they don't have gay people working? I mean, for food.
Yeah, especially since it had a big sign that said, "Bears welcome."
Yeah. He kind of looked like a bear.
So. Yeah, well, there you go.
So.
That's probably what he was worried about.
U.S. diplomats go door-to-door in Greenland to find anyone willing to meet J.D. Vance and his wife.
Oh, Shady?
No one was interested. Well, first she was going to go.
Yeah.
And that wasn't going well.
Yeah.
And then
the second lady whose name the president could remember.
Or pronounce. But, so that wasn't, you know, that wasn't very well received because, you know, I would think they would greet us as liberators, but that's just me.
Thank you, George W. Bush.
So then Vance decides to go along too, and he's such a tool. He said, "Oh, I can't let her have all the fun. It just seemed like it was going to be so much fun to go. I want to go with her." That is not why you're going. It's because it's going badly, and you're going to try to shore it up. Yeah. And of course, that made it worse because he's so unlikable.
Well, the real reason why he went, this is my take on it, is because he's on record as opposing something the president wanted to do. That was the revelation from the signal file.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that he was like, oh, I don't know if we should do that. And but, what I loved was Hegseth saying, oh yeah, you talked to POTUS about that. What a mean girl that's Hegseth is.
Well, he was playing both sides.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause he would say these things like, well, you know, someone would propose something, goes, well, I don't know if that's a good idea, but if, you know, if you guys want to do it, but, you know, I won't stand in your way or anything, you know. So he was, so then he had total deniability no matter how it went. If it broke bad, he'd say, well, I was against this. And so anyway, they go to Greenland, and they there's no place that really wants them.
Sure.
So they end up there. We have a military base there, of course. Yeah. And so they went to the military base where they had to be nice
to
them.
The four seasons. Except in Greenland, it's just the one season.
The season.
Exactly. You know, I think we should set a precedent. I think this has been a problem ever since. I don't want to blame anybody, but ever since LBJ became the guy in charge of NASA. Like, vice presidents used to just preside over the Senate and drink a lot, you know.
I mean,
I don't think George Washington saw John Adams for like 8 years, you know. That's fine with me, you know.
Well, that's because they would take like the second place person and make them vice president. Then,
so. But your job was just to go to the Senate, you know.
Right.
That's it.
Hope for a tie.
Hope for a tie. Exactly. Actually, Adams, the first vice president, broke more ties than, shows you how contentious things were.
Wow.
Broke more ties than any other president or vice president in
history.
Really?
Yeah. I bet that totally broke North and South, too.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a lot of that.
Almost all of them.
Yeah. Hey, federal judges are forming a panel to assess a surge in threats. And you might say threats, what kind of threats are we talking about? Are you talking about security? No, threats against justices. They're going to consider how to respond to current threats for the judiciary after a spate of threats against judges
who have ruled against the Trump administration. This is according to an internal two-page memo that was distributed on Wednesday and was obtained by our friends at the New York Times.
Wow.
This new Judicial Security and Independence Task Force will hold its first meeting within the next couple of weeks or so. And the announcement comes days after the Chief Justice issued a rare statement saying, don't talk about impeaching judges just because you don't like the results. But they're like, okay, well, what are we going to do? This formation task force is another sign that they're taken seriously because some of the threats, there's been hoax reports of bombs. Pizzas have been anonymously sent to judges' homes and the homes of their family members to just like let them know we know where you live, sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the president of these United States has been sharing posts that contain personal information about judges' families. And Mellon Husk and his followers have also been calling him out. So you got all these people that are – there's bound to be something gruesome that's going to happen, sort of like what happened to Nancy Pelosi's husband or something one of these days. So.
Yeah. The Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, and sort of a related story, suggested potentially defunding, restructuring, or even eliminating U.S. federal courts as a means of pushing back against judicial decisions that have challenged Donald Trump's policies.
Oh, my Lord. So let's just like open.
Let's get rid of these courts because they're not ruling the way we like.
He says,
we do have authority over the federal courts, as you know. We can eliminate an entire district. Mm. Oh, God. So.
Yep.
So, I mean, those are the types of things that are floating around as that they're kicking around. It's like, well, if they don't rule the right way, we'll just shut them down. So
have you been following any of the, there's a big tour right now that Bernie Sanders and AOC have been having, Down with Oligarchy tour.
Yeah, you might have been gone. They were in Racine and Altoona.
Yeah, no,
and,
I was watching
drew
it
big
on,
crowds.
Yeah, I was watching online. It was really pretty effective. I mean, I think that's really the, you know, why is it taking so long for the Democrats to figure out that why people are angry? You know? We live in one of the most economically unequal societies on the face of the earth. Why would that cause a problem? You know? And obviously, everything that they're doing right now, it's pretty, you know, transparent, is to try to privatize government functions in various ways. That's a lot of money to be made out of, you know, I mean, people said private prisons aren't enough. Come on, we need private everything.
Yeah.
So,
well, the post office is in the crosshairs again this week. So.
Even I don't even know how that's going to go. I mean, the post office is actually mentioned in the U.S. Constitution, but not like they're paying attention to that.
Before we go to the break here, I just want to remind people in the second half, if you're a Mindless Minion card holder, we're going to be texting out nuclear launch codes to you. So.
Hey, by the way, we just had 5 new Mindless Minion. I just filled out the cards. Top numerologists were helping me with this. But I got to say, your minions are getting a little pushy because I actually had several requests for numbers like that. Like they thought they had the authority to decide their own numbers.
This is like
numbers.
The sorting hat where we tell you where you belong.
You are definitely a Hufflepuff. I don't care what you say. You definitely are. We all know it.
I've been called a Hufflepuff.
Yeah, we all know it.
All right. Hey, you're listening to the Mel and Floyd Show here on WORT 89.9 on the FM. You might be listening on the internet at WORTFM.org, or you could be listening in the future because we put this show and all of our shows up on the archives page. And thanks to our pal Mindless Minion D-Cubed that the shows are available for podcast listening on, I don't know if Spotify's figured out their problem or not.
Yeah, that was kind
of... We were not on Spotify for a while. But anyway, we're everywhere. We're in the Apple and all that other stuff, too. But we might be back on Spotify. I don't know. So they never tell us.
Check it out and let us know.
Yeah.
We
always hear these things like 6 months later. It's like, you know, you haven't been on Spotify for 6 months. It's
okay.
So, all right, we're going to take a brief break, and then we're going to come back with...
Positive and or neutral news. Okay.
You really dug, didn't you?
Yeah. I get to say all positive, but some of it's neutral.
All right. We'll be right back in about a couple minutes.
I don't care about your past.
Support for this program comes from WORT's listener sponsors and Isthmus Newspaper. Isthmus is back on newsstands the first Thursday of every month, and now a nonprofit. Isthmus continues to expand its independent coverage of local government, the arts, and all things Madison at isthmus.com.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and the Wine and Hop Shop, located at 1919 Monroe Street, specializing in home brewing and winemaking supplies for over 40 years. Open to in-person shopping or order online for curbside pickup, in Madison delivery and shipping of supplies at wineandhop.com.
The 2025 Wisconsin Film Festival is coming to Madison Thursday, April 3rd through Thursday, April 10th. This year's festival boasts over 170 films of all shapes and sizes, including the best cinema has to offer from all over the world and right here in Wisconsin. We've got comedies, dramas, experimental, animated, and student films, as well as documentaries, restored classics, films for kids, and more. This year we'll be showing films at the Bartell Theater and the Barrymore Theater, as well as four venues on the UW-Madison campus. And we'll be spending the last 4 days of the festival at Flick's Brewhouse at the East Town Mall. The Wisconsin Film Festival curates, promotes, and exhibits programs that showcase the art of cinema. A complete festival guide is available in the March issue of Isthmus and online. And tickets are available at wifilmfest.org. The 2025 Wisconsin Film Festival is coming to a screen near you, Thursday, April 3rd through Thursday, April 10th. Helping keep local arts alive for almost 50 years, this is WORT Madison.
Election Day is around the corner next Tuesday. WORT has interviewed candidates for City Council, and we've put together a candidate guide with those interviews and more. Find it online at wortfm.org/candidates and find what you need to be ready to vote. That's at myvote.wi.gov. Say it's my country.
And we're back. So we're starting to see kids whose parents have followed RFK Jr.'s advice.
Oy.
And treated kids with measles with vitamin A.
Okay.
But of course, when you tell somebody, give somebody vitamin A.
More vitamin A is bound to be good.
More is better. Yep. And until these kids, they've started turning yellow now.
Oh, yeah. So. I think it would affect your liver.
Yeah, your liver. Yeah. It's vitamin A, I believe, is fat soluble. So you build it up. You know, it's not like vitamin C where you wash it away every day. Right. So you know, it's like D and A, I think, are fat soluble. So it's not a good idea to give kids mega doses. I mean, first of all, it doesn't do anything. I mean, really?
Yeah, maybe. Who knows?
Maybe.
Right?
Who knows? Yeah. They've given vitamin A to kids who've had measles, and it's kind of, it's sometimes it kind of helps, you know, mitigate it a little bit.
Sure.
But it doesn't prevent measles. It doesn't cure measles.
Yeah.
It's like when the people were using the fish tank cleaner to battle COVID. You know.
Oh, yeah, what can you say about stuff? It's a giant experiment, right? I mean, Utah just decided to get rid of fluoride in their water.
Yeah, I didn't know DeForest was in Utah.
But it was just kind of like, okay, well, let's just see what happens.
We know what happens.
We know what happens. We have all of human history to
look at. We did it for like 100,000 years.
Yeah, exactly.
Look at some old photos.
It's funny. I was just talking to a companion this morning about this. You know, we don't have chompers anymore. Like the number.
Chompers?
Yeah, the number of people that need dentures,
like dentures
has gone down. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tremendously. Why would that be? I can't imagine, you know. Anyway. let's see. Here's a good story. This is my one political story I'll share with the folks here in the second half of the show. There was a federal judge in Iowa, probably one of those judges whose district you want to get rid of, who on Tuesday blocked a portion of a Republican-backed bill that banned libraries and public schools from stocking books that described sex. So this was this judge, his name is Stephen Locker. I'm not going to tell you what his address is, but he's the judge of the Federal District Court in Des Moines. He blocked the measure from taking effect back in 2023. But an appeals court lifted his injunction, saying he applied a flawed analysis of the law. But it came back to him, and so he banned it again, apparently. The Attorney General of Iowa, a person by the name of Brenna Byrd, said that she's going to defend the measure, and she's going to keep on fighting to uphold our law and protect school children and parental rights. Parents shouldn't have to worry about what materials their kids have access to. Like, you know, material about how their bodies work. She didn't say that part.
You learned it on the street.
That's how I did it. That's exactly. Well, you know, the thing is that many school districts across the state of Iowa are just unilaterally removing stuff. And you can guess what some of the things were that they removed. The color purple. There's lesbians in there.
Kill a Mockingbird?
Yeah. Well, here's a good one. Looking for Alaska. No idea what that even is.
I don't know
what
that is.
But not surprisingly, 1984 and Brave New World.
Nope.
I read 1984 in school, mostly for the sex scenes. Right.
Looking for Alaska is a young adult novel based on his time at the private Indian Springs school.
Yeah.
And
oh, I have to tell a story, a funny story on myself.
The book is banned because of a one-page scene in which two teenagers engage in oral sex.
Oh, wow. Okay. So there's a series of graphic novels called Heartstoppers.
Okay.
About gay, lesbian, and trans youth. And I've started reading them a couple years ago, and there's a series, a British series, that came out about it and everything. It's very you know, very positive, trans positive, very gay positive. So I'm reading this stuff, and when we were in Vienna, we went to a bookstore, and they had some wonderful flashcards of the different characters, because there's a whole bunch of characters in the stories, and they originally, again, were comics, because, you know, I love comics, and so they were originally comic characters. And they had these flashcards, and they were all in German, and I thought that was really cool. So I got, and there's like, I don't know, something like 60 cards or something. They had characters, and then they had things like how to organize. And so they had a little card on activism and a little card on, you know, trans rights and things like that. And I was reading, they were all in German, so I thought that was be cool. Mm. So I bring them back to the United States. So what do you think happens at the airport?
Oh, no.
Because they're in a box, and they were a significant block of stuff, right? And someone could have had something explosive, sure, embedded inside of that.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
the woman had to take them out.
Or drugs.
And she, or drugs, and she had to go through them, and I felt so embarrassed.
Oh, no.
Because I'm like, oh, my God. And fortunately, again, they were all in German, but they were suspicious looking, right? And I felt badly, mostly because I felt like, I'm an adult. Why do I have these comic book things? And so I have to say, Mel, I lied and said, oh, those are for a family member. Just because I didn't want to think. I was so lame. But they let me into the country anyway, and they did not confiscate my Heartstoppers flashcards.
Very good.
So that was in German.
Very
so
good.
That was good. I think because they were in German, you know, the way the TSA works, oh, you know, he speaks German, then nobody could be bad if he speaks German, right? That's the word coming down from on high now.
we're transitioning to that.
Yeah, we're transitioning. Yes, exactly.
Yep. Hey, that ChatGPT thing?
Oh, yeah.
It's getting more...
My arch nemesis.
It's getting more right-wing.
Oh, is it? What a surprise.
It's shifting rightwards politically.
Oh, very nice.
According to a new study on it,
yeah.
This large language model. And it's because, you know, as you would probably guess, it's because the things it's being trained on...
Yeah.
Are becoming more and more right-wing and authoritarian.
It's a testimony to the ubiquitous billion-dollar right-wing propaganda industry.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
they send out an awful lot of messages, and this thing is trawling all those messages to come up with its model. And so the more crap that gets put into the system, the more it's going to affect the system.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's a nice sort of backhanded way of realizing how much, you know, really crappy messaging is going on out there.
Yeah, I mean, is it like going to go on, you know, Truth Social or Reddit or someplace? I mean,
yeah,
you know, I mean, Reddit is whatever, you know, but I mean, you know, you're going to find a lot of garbage there.
Yeah.
Like, you know, yeah, you know, oh, here, some vitamin A.
More vitamin A. Well, you know, that's the thing about that, too. Let's just pull back on that one again. Because the idea that if some of something is good, a lot more of it is better, you'd think that you would just, like, as a person, think that's a bad idea to begin with.
I'm thirsty.
I still remember when I went to college, I was on my own, and I thought, first thing I'm going to do, I wanted to grow a beard. I always wanted to grow a beard. Now I'm not at home anymore. I can grow a beard. So I grow a beard. But the second thing, I always loved Snickers candy bars. And I thought to myself, you know, I can eat as many Snickers candy bars as I want. At number 23, I thought, you know,
23?
It's probably not a good idea. I was 18. What do you want?
Like the little ones? Or?
No, the big ones.
Oh, my God. So you're probably still digesting those. You need to smoke some cigarettes to get that.
Yeah. Dry it out a little bit.
Out, yeah.
Smooth. No, I just thought, you know, and so, you know, it's just... Being a creature of excess does not help. I don't care what it is.
I did that once with Twix bars, and
those are good.
No, they're not. I can't.
Oh, you can't even look at one.
I can't even look at one anymore. That was a long time ago. Oh. So the baseball season started yesterday. The Brewers had their first game, and it's the first season without Bob Uecker.
Okay,
and it's very sad. But the Brewers, kind of their star player, Christian Yelich, showed up in like a big plaid suit to honor Bob Uecker.
Very nice.
I thought that
was nice.
I thought that was so sweet.
Excellent. Hey, tomorrow, if you'd like something that doesn't cost any money and is kind of fun, there's going to be a partial solar eclipse. Did you know this?
I did not.
Some parts of the United States, Canada, Caribbean, Europe, Russia, and Africa. It's not a total solar eclipse, so it won't be that fun, but it will be visible in a lot of areas of the country. And if you'd like to drive up to Boston, for example, you can see the biggest eclipse. That's those in Boston, the Boston area will see 43% of the solar surface covered. And in NYC, they're going to see about 22%. And then down in Washington, D.C., they're already living in darkness. So they have no interest in looking at it.
It's just all ash in the sky.
People living up in northern Quebec and Nunavut and Newfoundland and that area, they're going to see most of the sun being obscured. About 90% will be covered by the moon. So it's just it's kind of fun. It's something to see. So there it is.
Coffee enemas likely will not detox your system, but they could cause serious harm.
Oh.
Especially if it's too hot, I guess.
But, oh, no. Why would you put coffee up your butt?
It's
supposed to go the other end,
King,
isn't it?
King Charles and Gwyneth Paltrow have done it. And
King Charles has done it? Oh, yeah, that explains everything.
It's wellness influencers and TikTok people have said that it's something that can detox you.
Is that before or after you put the crystal egg in your yoni?
No, you want to go light on the cream and sugar.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Understood.
You need like 3 funnels there.
Oh, wow. Hey, here's an exciting story. This is from the world of nature, that ever-diminishing part of our planet. But the native iguanas in Fiji and Tonga. Do you know where Fiji and Tonga are?
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, it's in the South Pacific.
Yeah.
So they presented an evolutionary mystery for a long time because every other living iguana species lives in the Americas. So how could you have gotten iguanas in these islands that are like almost 5,000 miles away? And it turns out that these are some can-do iguanas. They've done some serious research now. There's an evolutionary biologist at the University of San Francisco by the name of Dr. Simon Scarpetta. And he figured out that the ancestors of these Fiji iguanas crossed the ocean on mats of floating vegetation.
Really?
And again, this would be about 5,000 miles. It's 4,970 miles from Fiji to South America.
Did they have like a buffet on the
That might have been how that why they got on there. They might have been pursuing some tasty insect or something
Sure.
We know that iguanas have made shorter crossings. For example, in 1995, 15 iguanas were seen rafting 2,200 miles on a piece of hurricane debris from a Caribbean
island.
Them
with like little sunglasses.
Exactly. They're imperturbable, too. That's the great thing about iguanas. They're not going to get stressed about anything. They're just not made to be stressed.
Yeah.
And, of course, we know that the ancestors of the Galapagos Island iguanas made a 600-mile trip. And people assume that's also on bobbing vegetation.
Wow.
But this was a big challenge to these Fiji iguanas. And they belong to a distinct genus because they've been isolated so long.
Oh, sure.
Brachylophus, they split off from their closest ancestor about 30 million years ago. So North America is the most probable area of origin for the iguanas in Fiji. And according to Dr. Scarpetta, they rafted over. That's the best explanation of how they got there. So.
Well,
that's a success story.
There's a lot of them in Florida, so maybe they were just trying to get out of Florida. That is crazy.
That's pretty good. Pretty cool.
Well, I remember a long time.
These are the ultimate immigrants, though. I mean, you got to give them some credit. Come on. 5,000 miles on a piece of vegetation.
Yeah, I'm not going to deport that one.
Not a bit. Nope.
I'm going to hire that
one. You're staying, buddy.
You got a job with me. I remember reading this book one time, kind of about the, you know, how the human race spread around the globe, and people were always like wondering, well, how did they get, you know, across the Pacific? And then this researcher said the Pacific really wasn't a barrier; it was more like a road.
Yeah.
And they got so good at, you know, having little canoe type things that they could just kind of zip along, and they had little paths where they could pop over, and because they found evidence of South Pacific civilizations in you know, South America and places like that. So they thought they just kind of popped over and looked around and, had a cigarette and went home.
Well, I mean, we think about the settlement of the United States by European colonizers. I mean, all the major cities were on the ocean. Well, what a big surprise.
Right.
In fact, it was easier to get from Boston to, like, Charleston by ship than it would have ever been, you know, until the 19th century.
Yeah.
It would have been by land.
Sure.
So, yeah. So when we were in Vienna, of course, I did see one of the most famous paintings that the Viennese artist Gustav Klimt made, called The Kiss, which is at a palace there, Belvedere, very famous. But Klimt did a lot of different work, and some of that really kind of special. Right now, there's a huge bidding war for one portrait that he did. It's a portrait that he did of an African prince who was visiting in Europe at the beginning of the 20th century. He was his name was William Ninorti Duono, and he's been on display. His image has been on display at various places in Austria. He was from what used to be called the Gold Coast, which is now, of course, the nation of Ghana. And it's a beautiful painting. I did have an opportunity to see a reproduction of it. I didn't see the actual one when I was there, but I saw a lovely reproduction of it. And apparently people are bidding like crazy for this thing. It's such an amazing painting that it's almost like photorealistic.
Mm-hmm.
It's like really, really well done. And it's a beautiful, beautiful, striking portrait of this very noble-looking prince. And apparently all the major art museums in Europe are all bidding for that. So we'll see where it ends up.
Here's another shocking headline. Physical attractiveness far outweighs other traits in online dating success.
Hmm.
So.
The monkey said what?
Oh. Narcissists get excited when talking about themselves. They show heightened physiological arousal when talking about themselves.
That's pretty much, I would think that would be the definition of narcissism, not like an effect of it, you know. How aroused are you about talking to yourself, about yourself? You are a narcissist.
Oh, that's funny. So, what else we got here? So, and another study that's pretty intuitive. Study finds intelligence and education predict disbelief in astrology.
Mm.
So people who are more intelligent and more educated have less belief in astrology. But that's a typical Libra thing, they would say.
It is, really. You know, I was thinking about that with respect to the big snafu, as they called it, that we had last week with the intelligence services and our Secretary of Defense. I really do think, and I know this sounds kind of snotty, but I really do think that if you buy into some of the views that these people have, you really don't know very well how things actually work.
Right.
And moreover, like a lot of people that aren't terribly bright, you don't think that you don't know how much you don't know about it. You know, I mean, it's kind of like, I'm sure they're feeling very excited about their narcissism. But I mean, you know, it's like it's like, oh, we got all right wing crazy people that were on Fox to do this stuff. That's not just a function of what occupation they held. It's that if they have those views, they probably don't know much about how things actually work. I hate to say that, but I mean, you know, it's the old facts have a notorious liberal bias. But I do think there's something to be said for that. Yeah. That they're probably not either don't want to pay attention or actually don't know how things operate.
Right.
So
a lot of times it's simplistic things. It's like, well, let's bomb that place and then they'll respect us. And you know, we got to show them our power. And then
that always works.
Yeah, that never works. Oh, speaking of that, though, Trump did appoint somebody to investigate the leak, the signal issue.
Oh, yeah?
Elon Musk.
He did. Oh. Hey, I know. So, okay, I got to tell you something. This is interesting. Someone that I work with, one of my colleagues, actually did get rid of their Tesla.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah. Good. I thought that I was very proud of that individual, but I thought, because, you know, it's not easy to do that sort of thing. But I thought, you know, if you're really committed, you would have given us all the opportunity to wallop the hell out of it first. But I guess the resale value would suffer if we did that.
Probably, yeah.
Hey, I got a bunch of how-tos here. How to beat the afternoon slump.
Okay.
More ways to eat better. I feel like I'm one of those. Like,
a listicle.
I'm clickbait. Yeah, right. Yeah. But this is from actual people that know things. So here's a dietitian. Her name is Amy Tritt. She's a dietitian in Minneapolis. And she says, if you want to eat healthier, there's a very good, easy way to do it. And would you like to know what that is? Do you have any desire to know? Would you like
sure,
to know?
Sure.
Okay. Try eating 3 square meals a day. Don't snack so much. That's one thing. Make big batches of food when you can. In other words, prepare things ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
So that way, if you are in a rush, you don't have to rely on prepackaged or restaurant meals. Use convenience food to build a better diet. So again, you can prepare a lot of things from scratch, but there are some things that are, we talked about this before, like frozen vegetables, for example, or tinned fish that actually are pretty good all on their own. You don't have to worry about those things being non-food.
non-food.
Go easy on the alcohol. We've been talking about that for a while now. It turns out alcohol really kind of bad for you, even though we love it. And then just sort of improve your relationship with food, you know. Don't be one of those people that's sitting by yourself eating. You know? Eat with friends and think of food as kind of a source of joy. I mean, it keeps you alive and, you know, like, love your food, you know.
Well, don't think of it
slowly,
as,
one bite after bite.
Don't think of it as bad or it's like forbidden. It's like, oh, I can't have that.
Just and eat
like,
each bite and go, oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby. Develop a better relationship.
You really like food.
You really like having a food orgasm right now. Yeah, right.
One more study here. These are always kind of fun. A revealing new study shows that 70% of Americans mentally clock out of their job and enter vacation mode a full 3 days before their vacation starts.
I have to say, I'm not one of those people. You know, I actually, here's what happens to me. If I know that I'm going to be leaving the set of wearisome tasks, I perform them all really fast.
Yeah.
You know, and get it all done. I'm actually, it's a motivator for me to know I've got time off. That's the way I usually just, like, don't do anything for ages and then just do it all at once because I know, today's the weekend, so I've got to get it done.
Well, your job, you actually do stuff. I mean, a lot of the jobs are nothing. I mean, they're kind of just actually, the hamster wheel type job.
Keep moving the memos around.
So, all right, it's time to declare the weekend. Enjoy the weekend. Hi.
Reverend Velveteen's
going to be in here this week. All right. So, but
next week is the
film festival.
We'll be interviewing some folks.
Yeah, we'll probably be in the studio, I think, this year. So we won't be doing a remote, but we'll have all kinds of fun guests here, and it's always a fun show.
Yeah, so, listen up. Other people would be smart and funny, and we can just suck off of that.
Or we can make some enemies. That's always fun, and we check somebody up.
I'll try not to do that this year.
We've gotten better over the years. We must have mellowed.
Slightly better.
Nobody's wanted to, like, punch us for a while.
Yeah, really.
The food Nazi and the...
Monster
A-Go-Go. Or
Monster A-Go-Go guy, yeah.
There was
blood in his eyes.
They did not like us. So. Nope. All right, stick around. The Kiosk is next. After that, the Reverend Velveteen doing the show. Who Cooks For You? There it is. I checked out already here. I check out like 7 minutes before the show is over. So. All right, it is 2 o'clock. You're listening to WRT 89.9 FM Madison. Have a great week, everybody. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye. Hello.
This is the Insurgent Radio Kiosk for Friday, March 28th.
This is Bird Note. Flitting from stem to stem, a yellow bird in a tiny black bandit mask sings with a voice many times his size. Common yellowthroats are one of the most abundant warblers in North America. They're adaptable birds, thriving in places that pickier warblers pass over. So it's easy to find yellowthroats in urban areas. Check for them in marshes, overgrown fields, and brushy areas along streams or trails. Many people remember the yellowthroat song pattern with the phrase, witchity, witchity, witchity. During the breeding season, males may repeat the song an earworm-inducing 300 times an hour. Only adult males have those bandit masks, but females and young males